It is really a privilege for me this morning to just honor Pastor Rampa. He is going to share the word with us this morning. We really look forward to that. We honor you as the man of God this morning. Thank you for bringing the word. We really are open to receive from you. Please share what God has laid in your heart, and don't be reserved. You don't need to be. Thank you very much for just coming. He's part of all of some. We've got a lot of network churches around the globe, and he's part of that. So, with the conference and the pastor summit that's coming up in the next 2 weeks, him and a lot of people, all of those funny names that Andrisha cannot speak, those people are coming to just minister to us from around the globe. So, please come. It's going to be really blessed just to see what God does around the world as well. Pastor Rampa, please come forward. Let's give him a hand. Thank you very much.
Amen. I thank God for Pastor Duval for allowing me to be with you this morning and minister to you. I wish I was able to speak in Afrikaans. I enjoyed as they were singing songs in Afrikaans here. Wonderful language, you know, and I believe Afrikaans is one of the heavenly languages that we're going to meet there. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm so blessed to be here because one of the people that blessed me when I was in Botswana, it's Gert. And I saw Gert here. Can you stand up, Gert? Let's give the Lord a clap for Gert. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This young man has been a great blessing in Botswana. He has had a great impact in our church. Our leaders and our people, and God used him mightily. And I believe there's an anointing for him to be the next pastor in the next generation. Hallelujah! And I'm so glad also to have Brother Lo. I believe also that Brother Lo is going to be one of the pastors in Shofar Church. And can I ask your Brother Lo and the team that went to Botswana to stand up? Such a blessing. These people have really been a great blessing to us. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much. I want you to pray for these people and always remember them. You know, their obedience to God, they've reached out in our land and they've touched our nation. They've planted a seed. And that seed is going to make a difference in our nation. This we don't take it lightly, as some of you have been watching even in the news, what happened even like in countries in North Africa. You know what's going on in Libya right now. Many people died. Many people tried to escape. They died in the sea and children, mothers, expected mothers, babies, and horrible things have happened. And this is why I say when people who are sent by God as prophets come and plant a seed like they've done, in many years to come, we will be saved. Our children and children's children will be saved from such horrible things. You know, God says, I will punish the children to the fourth generation because of the iniquity of their parents. You know. And this is what the Lord is showing us as ministers and as children of God. Amen. So I'm very grateful. I'm so happy that God is joining us together as a body. We are the body of Christ. And we are having the love that binds us together. And we feel bonded and we feel together. And this morning, I would like to say to you that before I go into the word, God wants us to express that love of God, to demonstrate that love of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, God loved us while we were still sinners. And he demonstrated his love towards us. While we were still his enemies, he demonstrated his love towards us by giving us his son Jesus Christ to die for us, to lay himself down for us. Now that's the demonstration of God's love. And the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, he says, we have passed from death to life. And we know this by loving one another, by loving our brothers. For who does not love his brother? He is a murderer. You know, sometimes we look at people who are sentenced in prison to be hanged or to lifetime imprisonment, you know, and we say, those guys are criminals, big criminals. But the Bible says, sitting next to your wife or your husband and you don't forgive and love, you are a murderer. You are a murderer before the Lord. And one of the great things that God wants us to do, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, he says, forgive your father, your brother. Forgive your fellow man. Forgive one another so that your heavenly Father may forgive you. Which means when you forgive, you don't have to ask for forgiveness from God. You don't need to ask for forgiveness. God is compelled. He's compelled to forgive you. Because God is governed by his word. His word governs him. So he's compelled. You don't need to ask forgiveness. All what you need to do, just forgive your brother. Forgive your brother every time. And he says, if you don't forgive, your heavenly Father will not forgive. And what a sad thing if God cannot forgive you. If God cannot forgive a man. If a man cannot be forgiven. Where on earth will he go? Where in the universe will he go? Because all of us sitting here, I don't know if there's any one of us who remember this morning when you wake up to check your heartbeat. Anyone? Nobody remembered. Who's doing that? God is taking charge. God is taking care of our heartbeat because he has forgiven us. Hallelujah. Amen. So, brethren, I would like us just to all stand on our feet this morning. And ask God to show us mercy. Mercy. Because many a times we come before the presence of God and we demand. We claim things as our rights. We come to the service like this and we say, God, bless us this morning. God, let your presence touch us this morning. God, speak to me this morning. No, brethren. We need first to ask of his mercy. Ask him to be merciful, to be gracious to us. He's a God of mercy. Let's ask of his mercy. Each one of us, I want us to speak. I want us to open our mouth and ask for his mercy and ask God to forgive us for where we have forgotten or where we have neglected to forgive our children. Some of us as parents, we get hurt almost every day. Our children, they hurt us, you know. I have a grandchild, a granddaughter, you know, and sometimes I get so hurt when he takes the whole sugar pot and pour it on my tea or on the table. And I just lift my hand to spank. Now, God wants us to have just heart that just is tuned to forgive. Forgiveness must be just our lifestyle. You don't have to be thinking of it. It must be just a conscious thing. Wherever you go, as you are driving and people drive in front of you, you just forgive. You just say, I just forgive you. Without even knowing that you're forgiving him, just forgive. So I want us to ask God, have mercy and ask God to forgive us where we miss to forgive one another. We miss to let go of the offenses and pray this morning that God grant us now to receive the spirit of forgiveness, the spirit of love, and to be able to demonstrate this love with one another, to be free with one another and break forth from the spirit of religion. Because that's what Jesus came to break. Jesus came to show us the greatest thing is relationship. He was crucified for calling himself a son of the living God. He says, he's my father. We are in the house of our father. Don't we have the right to be free in the house of the father? It's our family. It's the house where we belong. So we shouldn't be feeling guilty. We should be feel free. We shouldn't be feeling condemned. So let's pray, brethren. Let's just open our mouth and just ask God. Holy Father, we thank you this morning. In your presence, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you, Holy Father, for your grace upon us, the free gift. As we come in your presence, we realize, Lord, that we're not worthy. We're not worthy even to call on your holy name. We're not worthy to stand before your throne of glory. Father, we ask you, forgive us, God. Where we have missed it, forgive us, God. Where we have wronged one another, forgive us, God. Where we have not forgiven, forgive us. For we have pointed the finger, we have criticized, we've condemned others. Forgive us, Holy Father. And this morning, God, we pray that you will grant us grace to forgive, grace to let go from our hearts, grace, God, to receive healing. Holy Father, that we may also receive forgiveness from you in the name of Jesus. Grant us, God, to love one another, to love one another and to be bound together, to be free, God, to walk in the relationship with one another, with all other people, God, regardless of their situation, regardless of who they are, to love, for we are called to love. We have passed from death to life, and this morning we ask you, God, let your Holy Spirit take over. Let your Holy Spirit lead us. Let your Holy Spirit raise us, God, that we shall break forth in your glory in the name of Jesus Christ, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we command you, foul, evil spirits, unclean spirits, spirits that are not of God, that you will let go. Each one of us to receive the blessings, to walk in the glory and in the light of God. Let there be light in us in Jesus' mighty name for God's glory and God's honor. Amen. 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 Now, before you sit down, please do me a favor. I just want you to move just two steps out of your place and give two people a hug, a good hug, and tell them, I love you. You are my brother. You are my sister. You are my family member. Just do that. Do that. Just love them. Love them. Love them. Hallelujah. Just give them a hug and love them. Amen. Just tell them, you are my brother. You are my sister. Amen. Hallelujah. Just love them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful. I'm so happy, you know, to be in a church like this. A church which is warm with love. And this is what God wants us to do. I mean, the Bible says he so loved the world that he gave his son. He gave him. So we must give ourselves to one another. And a hug is just an expression to say, my life is open to you. You can run to me anytime you have a need. If you open your hand to someone and you hug him, you say, my life is open to you. So that's what we have to do. We have to be there for one another. You know, there are times when in families, We have crisis, we have terrible things happening, and you wonder, who do I call? Who do I run to? Who can I phone? Do you understand? And you feel, this time of the night, I can't disturb Pastor, I can't disturb Brother Lo, but who could I call? You need someone at that particular moment. Now, as brethren in the church, this is what we need to express every Sunday, to be saying to my sister, to my brother, brother, I'm there for you. I'm there for you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. I want just to share with you about sanctification. Sanctification. And I'm so tempted to ask Pastor to allow Lord to just translate in Afrikaans. You know, I feel I would be flowing well if I was able to speak Afrikaans. Brother Lou, would you be able to explain in Afrikaans? Just come with me and help. Yeah. Now. It's fine. Okay. I
think they're just going to get confused if I speak in Afrikaans.
Oh, okay. I've fallen in love with Afrikaans. Hallelujah. Now, sanctification, it's what God wants all of us to go into. Because without sanctification, we cannot enter the relationship that Jesus Christ have brought to us. This is to bring a new generation. Not the generation of Adam, of a fallen man. No more the generation of Abraham. No more the generation of Moses and Joshua. But a new generation. Jesus' generation. It's a generation where self dies. Anything to do with the flesh dies. And we come back to the original man. The original man who was created. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, God, verse 28, God, 27 and 28, God created man in his likeness. Male and female. Male and female is just gender. But we are all men. We are men. And man means this spirit being which is in the image of God. So, once you don't rise up to that, you may have a gender of a male but not be a man. That's what God wants us to see. Until you step into this manhood, because manhood refers to the likeness of God, where you have the attributes of God. You, when you walk, the universe sees God. When you speak, the universe hears the voice of God, and the universe will obey. And that's what Jesus came to demonstrate to us. He speaks to the sea obeys. He speaks to the tree obeys. He speaks to death, the death left Lazarus. And Lazarus came out of the tomb. He speaks to the demons, and the demons, they begged him. They said, Lord, please allow us to go into the pigs. Amen. Man. So God wants us to rise into that. But rising into this, it's what Adam before the fall was in that image. He was a spirit being. But then in Genesis chapter 2, when God took this man and put him in the body, trouble began. Trouble began. How many of us understand well that this body is not you, it's not me. We are the spirit being, which has a soul living inside a body. It's a case. You see, just like this water bottle. You don't eat the water bottle. No. What is important is the water inside. This thing is just a container containing the water that we want. So the flesh is just a container of the person. And this is where we need to rise up and take care of the inside man instead of being busy with the container. So sanctification, it brings us to that, to understand that we need to separate ourselves from the flesh. We need to let the flesh understand it's no more going to have dominion, control over us. It's got to listen to us. That's why fasting is so important. Christians, when we fast, we are training the body to take its position. not taking over your life. No. Your life is controlled by the spirit man. That's why Paul reaches a place of saying, I am torn apart. I'm divided inside me. I want to leave this body, which is a tent, and be with the Father and rejoice. But on the other hand, I love the people that are still trapped inside this body, that I have to minister to them to be sanctified. I have to be with them so that they will also rise up and be ready to share this body, which is a tent. A tent is a temporary thing. Amen. So with this introduction, I'd just like to bring up the slide and just let's look at it and understand and follow. Now, the first thing I want us to see here is sanctification. It's just separating yourself in a way of cleansing. There are two things here that has to be happening. And this follows our salvation. Salvation is in two parts. Firstly, the most important part is what no man can do. I believe we all understand that no one can forgive his own sins. And no one can forgive another's sins. Pastor Divala and Pastor Rampa cannot change you. Do you understand? Neither can you change yourself. It only takes the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And that's the reason why Jesus said to the disciples, the apostles, he says, don't leave Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes on you. Wait for the promise. And in Luke 24, verse 49, the Bible says, Jesus talked to them. He says, I'm going to the Father. But the promise, remember, the promise will come when you will receive power. You see, this is a dunamis, a power that the earth doesn't have. It's not a nuclear power. It's a heavenly power. It's a divine power. It's the only power that can transform a heart that is wicked, that is so desperate to do evil. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. It says, who will understand the heart of man? Who will understand the heart of man? Is the most wicked thing. So we need this divine power. Divine power of the Holy Spirit. So salvation is in two parts. This first part, we call it regeneration. Regeneration is the part that is only done by the Holy Spirit. Somebody to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be converted, you need to pray first. We need to pray. We need to pray. This is why many people don't realize why they don't continue in this way of the light. We need to be very clear. When God changes the heart of a person, the person becomes regenerated. Not unregenerated, but regenerated. The regeneration is a word that even in the medical term they use when a person has got an ulcer and it eats up your muscle and the bone can show up. They take antibiotics and all these things and treat you. And then later on, the doctors will write and they say, he's regenerating, which means new tissues are coming up. The bone is getting covered. The dead tissues are replaced. Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says, we are dead in our trespasses. Anyone who's not born again, he's dead. He's a dead person. Nicodemus was a religious man, but he was dead. He was not alive. He needed regeneration. Regeneration. There are people who will say, Pastor, you know, I don't smoke, I don't drink. Even if you don't see me coming to church, Pastor, I'm okay. They're still dead. They're not alive. They need their spirit man to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. And he says, it's complete. It is finished. Nothing is left. He did it completely and perfectly. When the Holy Spirit comes, there's regeneration. But the number two, which is very important now, is our responsibility. In the regeneration, you don't need to help God, and you can't help God. You can't help God to bring yourself to life. God does not need your faith in regeneration. No. Did Jesus ask Lazarus in the tomb to believe? No. Lazarus couldn't believe. He was dead. He was buried. He was even rotten. The Bible says he was smelling already. So Jesus needed the power from above of regeneration. And he says, Lazarus, come up. And Lazarus came up, hoping. Hallelujah. Now, that was the first thing. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. This is why a church without the Holy Spirit cannot move forward. A Christian without the Holy Spirit cannot move forward. Cannot have penetration. Cannot have power. The enemy can destroy you. We need the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's the enemy who brings this death. So, after Lazarus came up, there was now a part he has to play. God had finished his work, but Lazarus had to play his part. What was his part? To loosen the bonds. To loosen all those ropes, all the things that were tied around him. He would not be able to live all his life now hoping like that every time. But there are so many Christians who are regenerated by the Holy Spirit, but they are always hoping. They're not loosened. Present. We need what we call now conversion. We need what we call conversion. Preacher, Peter preached a powerful message. And after he preached, they asked him, they were pricked. They said, what should we do? What should we do, men of God, brethren? He said, repent and be converted. Repent and be converted so that you will be baptized. You will be immersed. You will be dipped in the name of Jesus. Now listen, beloved. He doesn't say be baptized in the water. Because we feel baptism is to be sprinkled. Baptism is just an outer. No, that's just demonstrating there's something that is deeper in the spirit world. Baptism, it means to be becoming part of something, like when you take a sponge and you put it in the water and the water just become part of the sponge. The sponge become part of the water. So Jesus is teaching us that we must be baptized in the nature of God and come out of the nature of the fallen man. The nature of darkness. Now, the nature of God is where Adam initially, originally, he was there. Amen. Am I together with you? Yes. Where, when Adam walked, the devil was not sure, is that Adam or is that God? They looked alike. Just like a father when he comes and he walks in the field, and the son comes behind, at a distance you will not know, is that the old man or is that the young man? They look alike, they walk alike, and their voices are similar. So, God wants us to be baptized in Christ. So that when you speak, the demon, they don't know it's you who's speaking or it's Christ who's speaking. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is why you see, even in the crusade, in the churches, and I believe even in the conference that we've come and starting, when men of God speaks, the demons, they just go out because they don't know it's him or is it Christ. But one thing they know, they have to bow to the name of Christ. So these days, they see many Christs along. They just bow every time a man of God. Why? Because he's baptized in Christ. So this is what I want you to see, beloved. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, the Bible says in a big house, there are vessels. These vessels are of different nature or different materials. But the important in this verse is that each vessel must clean itself. It doesn't say God will clean the vessel. No, it says each vessel must cleanse itself for the master's use. The master cannot use any of these vessels if it's not clean. And many of us Christians, we feel God has a favorites. Why is God not using me and using somebody else? No. It's not about that. It's about sanctification. This is where we need to clean ourselves. To clean ourselves. And when we clean ourselves, we are making a choice to be used or not to be used. When anyone of God's children forgives and begin to walk in the love and begin to say, if my parents were walking in these wicked ways, not me. Not me. You see, in Exodus, the one I've just quoted, Exodus 20, verse 5. Exodus 20, verse 5, you can write it, you'll remember. The Bible says, because of the iniquity of your parents, I will judge you to the fourth generation. It shows the seriousness of sin. But here, this sin is called iniquity. What is the iniquity? Iniquity is the repeated sin that eventually becomes a habit. Are we together? Take, for instance, drunkenness. People, they feel guilty when they are drunk and they beat their wives and their children and they do things and then tomorrow they feel so guilty. But even after that, they go again and they continue and then eventually it becomes a lifestyle. Now this lifestyle, it's passed on to the next generation and you can look at it like when you go to the hospital and you have hypertensive, the doctors will say, is there anybody in the family who has hypertensive? And you say, yes, my grandfather and my uncle and my aunt. They say, yes, it's inherited. It's inherited. Now, it's like iniquity. The iniquity of the father and the children, it's something you inherit because it has been there. Now, we who are baptized in Jesus Christ, we are given power of the cross to break it. If it's been going on in our generation and becoming a generational curse, by the power now from above, we break it and say, enough, it's enough. It will stop with me and never continue with my children. And that's where we come and train our children to fear the Lord. To come out of sin. Immorality. The whole world today, our governments, they're spending lots and lots of money buying condoms. Why? Because it's an iniquity now. It's something inherited. It's something that nations say, we can't do without it. We can't hold ourselves. We can't abstain. So God wants us, brethren, to rise up as a new generation, the generation of Jesus, the generation that will come out, that will stand out of iniquity, out of wickedness, and be the people of Christ. Let's look at the next thing. Now look at this. It is evident that from the word and the experience that believers, those of us who do not enter into practical sanctification, it's not because God has omitted or failed to do anything that is necessary to enable us to enter into sanctification. No. Let's get to the next one. Look at this. What is causing us? These pictures, they're not that clear enough. But if you can look at closely, you'll see this is the parties, you see on your left side. The party style. Every month end, people have to do parties. And for the party to be a real party, there must be alcohol. Do you understand? I hope I'm not destroying the business in Cape Town. Now, you see, there's so much life of drunkardness, that it penetrates even in the church. We cannot rise up in God's power as long as the flesh and worldliness rules us. The first thing is that we must be above the flesh. We must be able to deny the flesh. I told the young people back home, I said to them, sexuality is a gift of God. It's a wonderful thing because God created man and gave him gender, male and female. For sexuality, that when they get married, they must produce children, they must multiply, they must be fruitful. But sexuality is an appetite, simple like that. It's a simple thing, appetite. Just like when you are hungry, when you get food, that appetite is satisfied. You don't eat anymore. You look at the food. You, even if it smells nice, you're full, isn't it? You're not hungry. But when we fast, even if the appetite is so strong, you refuse to eat. You just look at the food and say, no, I'm fasting. Sorry, excuse me, I'm on a fast and prayer. You are determined to fast. So sex is simply like that. You can control it. It's an appetite. Now drinking. You don't have to say, this is just my lifestyle. I don't know which doctor is going to deliver me. No. It's an appetite. Rise up, control it. Work on the mindset. Worldliness. You see, the life of outside there, the life of running according to the spirit of the world. We need to pull ourselves out of it. It's a life of being competitive, looking at the material things, being governed by the physical things, being controlled by the things of the flesh. No. Our desire, our hunger, our thirst, it must be the glory of God. Just like we're singing as we're worshiping, the glory. God must be glorified. Wherever we are, he must be glorified. John the Baptist, he says, I must decrease so that he will increase. Hallelujah. It must be God in our lives. Everything must be about God. When it's Sunday service like this, no matter how busy, no matter how's the business, no matter everything, you just say, it will just have to wait because the master must increase. The master must increase. So many of our congregates, they have no time, no opportunity to serve even in the church. Why? The world is the systems of the world. Now, brethren, God wants us to break through all these pleasures of the world. Now, look at this. At the beach, nice time. You see the casino there? And you'll say, brother, if I don't go to the casino, I can't make it. My budget is too tight. Listen to me. In John chapter 2, the Bible says Jesus went to Canaan and there was a wedding. And he was with his disciples. And in that wedding, after they finished the wine, there was nothing left. He called them just to take ordinary water, fill up the cans. When they're finished, he said, "You're through? Just take a cup and go and give the manager to taste." And when he tasted, he was shocked. He called everybody who was in the leadership on that wedding and he said, "Hey guys, what is this that I see? Where have you been keeping this wine? The best wine is always given at the beginning, not at the end. But you kept the best wine till the end. Why do you do that?" They didn't have an answer. But you see, when you continue to read, the Bible says the disciples, the apostles of Jesus, the disciples, they believed. That was the first miracle. They believed in Jesus Christ and in what he was teaching about the glory of God. Now, there were 120 disciples, but at the end, only 12 gave themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ to become apostles. Why? Because when Jesus Christ was going to things like the wedding in Canaan, they were saying, "I'm too busy. He's not even having a Sunday service church. Is your Christianity only on Sunday service?" No. These disciples, they just followed him. They didn't know what was going to happen. But they saw the glory of God. And here now, they saw God bringing up things that are just supposed to be ordinary to be extraordinary. Things that are supposed to be common to be uncommon. And I speak prophetically today. I said, as you receiving this word on sanctification, many people will be surprised because they've been just looking at you as an ordinary person, as a common person. They're going to see you being changed and being used by God. Ordinary water became the best wine. And this is what the Lord is saying. He's saying, you don't need to make your riches only in the ordinary way, or only in gambling, or in the systems of the world. Your pleasure, the things that you don't think they can bring pleasure to you, God is going to turn them into your pleasure. The house of the Lord, the service of the Lord, the kingdom of God, and the glory of the Holy Spirit is going to change everything in your life and make you an uncommon person. Hallelujah. This is what the Lord is bringing. Hallelujah. Now, listen, brethren. God wants us. Can we just go to the next one? Listen. God wants us to understand that we need to give ourselves and remember that if it was only God who has to do everything alone in our lives, we'll be like these workers. If you look at on the left, those are mine workers with the little torch. They are underground there. Do you understand? And this side is the men in uniform, like the firefighters or other people who are employed. These people, they have no freedom. And if you talk to many of them, they'll tell you, "I wish I had enough money to start my business. When I have my own business, my own farm, my own company, when I don't feel like waking up and I have a headache, I can just sleep the whole day. When I feel like going to take a leave and just go to the coast, I'll just drive my car and go. But here I am. I'm employed. I can't do that. I have no freedom." Listen, brethren. God has given man the choice and the will. You can choose to obey God or disobey God. Sanctification comes with your choice. If it was not that gift of God, that love of God, every one of us as Christians would be perfect. If it was just God alone, it would be perfect. But we would not be enjoying life without the freedom. Man is different from all other animals. We are made in the likeness of God. That's why we have the freedom. Animals, they don't have this. They are controlled by instinct. Men, like I say, you can control the appetite. Men, you can control the environment, the situation. You go in a house where there is bitterness, anger, fighting. But when you step in, you change the atmosphere. That's the power that man has given to us. I mean, that God has given to us. Man is given the power to rule on earth. That's why you have a will. You're not like an animal. So this is to take us out of this bondage. Sanctification is to make you to be a ruler like Jesus Christ. In Psalms chapter 8 from verse 4, the Bible says, who is man that God should mind him and make him a little lower than Elohim, lower than God, and give him dominion over all the works of man, over all the works of God. Which means God has initially designed us to rule. We need to rule. But we can't rule if we're like animals. If we're controlled by our flesh, by our instincts. No. We have a will. We have a choice to make. So I'm encouraging us that we must see, we must come out of this life. We must step into a life of sanctification, a life of cleansing ourselves. Because one thing for sure, God cannot use anyone who doesn't clean himself. If you don't cleanse yourself, you are actually making a choice not to be used by God. And when you are not to be used by God, you are like Moses' rod or Moses' stick. That stick was used just to beat the sheep and to throw at the sheep when they don't go in where he wants them to go. It was a useless stick. It was a suffering stick. But the day when God called Moses on a burning bush, he said, Moses, what do you have in your hand? He says, a stick. He says, throw it down. Because that was a holy ground where God says, take off your shoes. And immediately Moses released it from his hand and he touched that holy ground. It became God's rod. No more Moses' rod. Exodus 4 verse 20. It became the rod of God. This was the rod that performed miracles. He went to Egypt. He stood before the king of Egypt. And he said, let my people go. The president of Egypt, all along, before the rod came, he thought those were his people. But Moses threw the stick. The stick became a snake. He called his magicians, which means his power. And all his magicians, they threw their sticks, and the sticks became snakes, which were there just to be swallowed by Moses' stick. Ah, praise the Lord. Beloved, this is what Joshua and Caleb said. At the age of 80 years, they said, Moses, give us the mountain. Give us our enemy. They will become what? Our food. We will eat them up. So, Moses was demonstrating with that rod that from now on, it's not you, Mr. President, who's ruling Egypt. It's this rod. Hallelujah. Can you imagine if President Zuma, he is under the church in South Africa. He has to ask and consult with the church before he makes a decision. The president of Egypt, every time he had to go to Moses and say, Moses, I beg you, please go to God to change water from blood to water. Did you get what I'm saying? It was Moses who was actually ruling Egypt. It was Moses who decided the Israelites must be free. It was not the president of Egypt. Not only that, it was Moses who sentenced the president of Egypt to death. Do you know he died with all his army in the sea? Yes. Who was ruling? It was not the president. It was Moses. God wants the church to rule. God wants the church to rise up, brethren. But we need to pay a price. We need to understand. Next one. Oh, our time is finished. Listen. Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 11. It talks about what Jesus is now doing at this present moment. He has made once for all a sacrifice for us. I mean, the door is open for you and me, my brothers, my sisters, for every single one who is born again, a child of God. The Bible says when Jesus has finished this, he is raised to be on the right hand of the Father, where God is keeping him until all his enemies are under his feet. Now, may I ask you this question, and you will see the answer on Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 to 23. Where are the feet of Jesus? Where? Where do we have the feet of Jesus? Are they in heaven, where he's seated on the right hand of the Father? Or are they on earth? Can I hear from the church? On earth, my sister, you are very right. I mean, that scripture, we don't have time now even to look at it, but please go and look at Ephesians chapter 1. It declares that Jesus Christ, who is the head, he has made us the body. And we are the body that is connected to the head of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church. The church is the body of Christ. So where does the leg stay? Did they stay on the head or on the shoulders or down there? The legs are on the body. So we are the body that's supposed to step the enemies of Christ. Pharaoh must be under our feet, not on our head. Hallelujah. Are we together? Are you with me? Pharaoh must be under our feet. When the parliament of this earth decides that there must be homosexuals and gay marriages, and pastors must be forced to marry the gays because of what they call human rights, we must be, as the church says, no, the enemy must be under our feet. Hallelujah. When the parliament wants to legalize homosexuality and prostitution, the church must cancel it. This is what God is saying, because the Lord has opened the way already. Jesus has completed everything, has given us the power of the Holy Spirit, so that all the enemies must be under our feet. But it takes separation. Sanctification means separation, beloved. We need to separate us from worldliness. We need to be different from the people of the world. We need to walk as sons of God. We need to put priority on the things of God. The word of God must become our final authority. Our lives must be governed by the word of God. Not by the world. Not by the things of the world. No. God wants us to rise up. Wants us to rise up. The last one. Now, this is just to show you the covenant that Jesus has perfected. What I was saying in Hebrews chapter 10. And he has perfected our sanctification. The Holy Spirit, he's a witness to us. When you look at Romans 8:16, the Bible says the Holy Spirit bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And also, I didn't put this one in Proverbs. You could write that in Proverbs 20, verse 27. It says, your spirit, the man's spirit, is the lamp of God. Not God's spirit, your spirit. Now, what God is saying to us is that the Spirit of God joins with our spirit. The Spirit of God will never speak to your mind. He speaks to your spirit, man. Are we together? Because our mind can get us confused, but your spirit cannot get you confused. Do you understand? So many decisions when you have to make them, you must listen to your spirit. The spirit man is guided by the Spirit of God. And when we are sensitive to the spirit man, we will definitely rise up as God wants us to rise up, and we'll begin to rule and reign with God. God says he will never remember our sin because of his covenant. They are buried. They are completely. We are free, children of God, to rule and to reign with God. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord increase you. May the Lord transform your life. It's only that our time doesn't allow us. You see, this teaching is so packed that there's so many slides, but each one of them, it's a sermon on its own. Hallelujah. It's a sermon on its own. But all what it is, brethren, what I'm saying to you is that we must go and ask God to separate us. You know things that have been holding you back. You know things that have been denying you. Your spirit man is crying inside. Your spirit man says, I just want to serve God. I just want to be for God. I just want to allow God to take over my life and do what he wants. But there's something that is holding you back. There's something that is holding you back. And that something, it's claiming you. But today I want you to tell that something and say, you are my ex-master. You are my ex-master. I've got another master now. His name is called Jesus. His name, the Bible says, all knees shall bow to that. Every name shall bow. Amen. Can we stand on our feet? Hallelujah. Please, each one of you, just lift up your holy hands. Lift up your holy hands and say, Father, today I surrender, I surrender, I surrender. Just speak to God and say, I surrender to you, God. Today I lay myself on the altar. I lay myself as Abraham laid Isaac on the altar, ready to kill, ready to destroy, ready to part with him. Today I lay myself. It will no more be about me, but about you, God. Everything, it shall be about you, God. Please just open your heart and let God receive that sacrifice you are making. Yes, yes, confirm it with your mouth and say, Lord, here I am, here I am, here I am, here I am. With the spirit of obedience to you, you are Lord. In everything in my life, everything in my life, for what I don't sanctify, the devil will just take. But now I want to sanctify everything. I just want to sanctify. I just want to separate myself unto you in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, hear your children as they've received your word and opened their hearts gladly to you. Father, hear their cry. Their spirit man has been crying. Father, as they rise up and surrender, I pray, my God, that you will hear their prayers in the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. Beloved, please, I want Pastor Duval to pray for you. Anyone who says, Pastor, today God has just touched my life. I want to be free. I want just God to do his will. I want God to raise me up for his glory, for his kingdom. I want to focus on eternal values, not temporary values. I want you just to step forward here. I'm going to give over to Pastor Duval so that he can just pray. He is the shepherd in this house. He's got the anointing. God has spoken in Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 15. He says, I will give you pastors who will care for you. So he's got the anointing to raise you, that the desire of your heart will be fulfilled. Just step forward quickly, and he's going to, I'm going to ask him just to lay his hand, just lay his hand touching you. That's what we call impartation. He's releasing what God has done in him into you. In the name of Jesus.